Well, welcome to Agathos Church, where the Bible comes alive. And as commissioned believers, we operate in God's authority to, I don't have it in front of me, preach the gospel everywhere, disciple nations, cast out demons, amen, speak with new tongues. We declare that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, and we lay hands on the sick who then recover. Isn't that awesome? Actually, testimony this week, we like to do testimonies, those of you that are visiting. By the way, if you are visiting, there's I think you got it all, but Joe is trying to go so quick. I'll just repeat it so you hear it twice. There's connect cards. We actually really love for you to fill those out. We'll reach out to you. If you'd like to fill one of those out, you can give them to Joe after service. Also, there's house church next week. We do alternating weeks, main church, house church, which is a little different. So you'll want to connect with Joe after service in the foyer out there if you'd like to attend a house church next week so that he can get your information, make sure we have your information so that we can connect you up with a house church for next week. Otherwise, you'll say, which house is it in the entire city? Which houses are they? So it'd be great to have you there next week. Okay, Dan, do you want to come up and give just a testimony basically about what happened Friday night and talk about when the next prayer night will be?
So we've been doing prayer nights on Friday nights once a month starting last month. So Friday was our second one. And we're going to have another one on October 13th, Friday the 13th. I think it's great. So God has just been like pouring out at these prayer nights and just coming in like a super fresh way and giving new things to everyone. Friday night we had time of ministry, and I know I got super blessed, and a lot of other people did too. God just like, I'm totally out of sorts right now. I don't know why. it's just been really, really good and really refreshing to be able to gather together and worship with everyone and pray for the city and the church and just be able to be a blessing to everyone, you know. So I invite you on the 13th of October to come and pray and worship with us. We do communion and baptisms, and it's amazing. So, thank you.
Guys, it was super powerful on Friday night, so much so I came into church this morning, and both times I walked into the sanctuary, I felt the presence of God stronger than normal when I walked in here. And guys, years ago even, we had someone who used to clean here, upstairs and downstairs, and the first time I met her, she said, I've never met you before, but every time I walk into your space, I feel the presence of God, like midweek. Isn't that awesome? That God honors the worship that's here and his presence remains here. There's a spiritual residue or something like that, or, you know, the angelic presence or whatever it is. All I know is it's here, which is awesome. There's something else I was going to share. So I just encourage you, you know, main church, like when there's a sermon, it's kind of like a lecture, right? For those of you that went to college, it's kind of like a lecture. House church, when we talk about the sermon, is kind of like a recitation. Where's the lab space? It's kind of meant to be everywhere, okay? It's meant to be at both those places and just throughout your daily life where you practice it. You kind of do the work, right? You experiment. I want to say a couple things. One, Friday nights are a great time for to come and experiment with God. You know, it honors God. He says it's the glory, his glory to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings, when you're a king, according to Revelation, it's the glory of kings to search things out, to search out God's things. Well, how do you search them out? A hunt and peck operation. You got to try stuff. Not everything in the kingdom of God is first intellectualized and then done. A lot in the kingdom of God, that had power on it. A lot in the kingdom of God is experienced and then understood. And what I'm telling you is that the Friday night times is an R&D time. It's a time that's it's less formal than a Sunday morning, and we can try sorts of things out. Now, here's the other thing. Do you notice that I have no idea how to like structure ministry time like that, like we just had? Do you see what I'm saying? Remember what I said? I said, so here's what we're going to do. I don't know. I just know people are going to get set free. Isn't that awesome? But I'm telling you, you got to be patient with me because I don't know how to structure this time. But there's a lot in the kingdom of God that's not understood first before it's experienced. It's experienced and then it's understood. And God's saying, if you will let me go outside your intellectual box, I'll take you into places that otherwise you'd limit me. And so I want you guys to be ready to go with us, and you're going to see it on Sunday morning, but you're also going to see it on Friday night. And Friday night can not only prep you, but it'll also prep the church to go further into those sorts of things. It's an R&D environment. So I'd encourage you to come on Friday nights and just see what happens. Okay, Father, your blessing over this message in Jesus' name. You know, God totally set me up for this, because just the other day, last night I think, I was prepping the message, finishing it up. And here's what he says. Well, I'm just asking for more of the presence of God right now, in Jesus' name, on each heart, each mind. Here's what he says. He says, don't let your sermon schedule get in the way of my move. And I said, okay. And I said, but God, I've got a little bit of a problem. Like this message I'm going to give you guys today, it has to come out in one shot or else it'll be like the worst cliffhanger ever. Like, I can't give you half this message and then say, in 2 weeks, we'll come back to it. You know, I don't think at least. Maybe I can. But you get the idea. I said, God, how do I do that? And I felt like he gave me a creative idea. So let me just tell you what my creative idea is. If I sometime can't finish a sermon, maybe I'll just finish it in audio recording on my computer. And they can tack it on to the back end of the sermon online. And you would just be responsible for finishing listening to it. Does that seem like it could work? Because I felt like, for me, it would really help me because I'm like, we could have ministry time go however it goes, and then if I only get 5 minutes to teach a sermon, it's fine. I'll just record it, and it'll just be audio. So I don't know what you think, but that's what I'm kind of thinking. Today may be the first day that we try that, and there's another thing I don't know how to do, but I just figured that it'll work, okay? Bear with me, because we're trying some new stuff, and we don't want to get in God's way.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I've been touched by God more powerfully in the last couple weeks than I ever have been in my entire life, and I'm not going to give you stories right now, but just know I've had the most profound encounters with the love of God in the last few weeks that I've ever had. That's what I'm imparting, part of what I'm imparting up here, and it's unbelievable, guys. Gifts of God are freely received, and they're freely given. They're freely received, and they're freely given. And so, you know, some of you might not be real familiar with, like, people falling over when they get prayed for and things. And there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt fall over when the power of God comes upon you, okay? But there's also nothing in the Bible that says, when the power of God comes upon you, you won't yell or scream or shout or weep or laugh or whatever. His power manifested in our body produces effect. It's different effect for different people, different times. It's just different, okay? And that's just how it is. So don't get freaked out about that. Let me also just give you a little lesson. This is crazy. I feel like I'm a rock climbing instructor again. Megan, would you come up here, please? Okay. Now, because this is new to me over the last multiple months. I mean, it happened to me a few times before, but over the last month or so, a lot of people have been getting, people are caught being slain in the spirit. A lot of people will be slain in the spirit when I'm praying for them, like, 30 or so times that's happened, and it had happened only a couple times to me before. So I know I'm carrying something different, and it's nothing that I'm doing. I literally just put my hands on someone and say, Lord, we receive your power, and then they just fall over. And the key is that they need to not fall over and hit their head. Now, guys, you might think this is odd to teach about this. This is just intensely practical, because all we're after is people receiving from the Lord. We're not after people falling over, but I'm saying sometimes people fall over. Okay, that's just the same way sometimes people laugh, sometimes people cry, sometimes people weep, sometimes people double over, sometimes people feel like they need to lay down, sometimes people feel like they need to sit down. It's just God's presence moving on their body, and you all know that in your quiet times. when you get in your prayer closet, you might feel like, man, I just need to lay down right now. I just need to lay prostrate right now. I just need to get on my face right now. I might, you know, I'm just laughing right now, whatever. I'm telling you, these are just the sorts of things that happen when God moves upon people's body. It's different things, different times. So I want to make it clear that all the glory and all the power is His. Right? Matthew 6:13 says, all glory, honor, and power is yours forever. Okay? But we are supposed to minister in power, but it's only ever His power. And even after I minister in power, or anybody else ministers in power, it's still His power. You never take any glory to yourself. All the glory, all the honor, all the power, all the kingdom is His. It remains His. We just function in it. Okay? But this is part, thanks for being a prop up here. They're like, it's never been so pleasant to look at the stage and when Peter's teaching before. Okay, now, so what I'm saying is I feel like I need to tell you guys, we need to have a kind of a new paradigm that says you can't, if you know that you're flowing this sort of thing, we need to have spotters when people pray. That's what I'm getting at. I can't pray for someone without someone else behind them because they might get hurt. Okay? Now, and the same thing for you guys, because here's what happens. When you honor what's on someone else's ministry, do you know that you actually partake of the grace that's on their ministry? Because some of you might be saying, Philippians 1:7 I think says that, some of you might be saying, well, that's fine, we'll make sure someone's behind people when Peter's praying for them, but I don't need to be, you know, I'm praying for someone, so no one needs to be. I'm telling you, if you're a financial giver, in particular to this church, Philippians 4 tells you why I'm saying that. If you're a financial giver into this church, if this is your church home, what happens is anything that I'm getting becomes yours. And so what will happen is you will start flowing in the same thing that I'm starting to flow in. Especially if you believe for it. Okay? So just receive it in Jesus' name. But I'm saying it needs to be standard practice that we have people standing behind people when they pray. And this is not abnormal. This happens at lots of churches where there's very powerful people praying, very powerful ministers of God praying in the power of God. And it's known, oh my gosh, Chris Valadin's praying for someone and no one's standing behind the person. Someone will literally run out of their seat to get behind them because you don't want them to hit their head. Okay, and that's happened to me before too. I was recently in Idaho. Someone was ministering real powerfully in a message. My friend was ministering, and he gave an altar call that was just like what the Lord had been speaking to me wanting to do. So I'm like, I'm first up there. I'm supposed to be ministering after service here, but I'm first up there. I'm going to receive. And here's one of the keys to ministry, humility. You will only get what you actually need. But if you don't think you need anything, you won't get much. You only get what you actually need, but if you don't think you need anything, you won't get much. And so what I'm saying is, so I ran up, and my friend Brian reaches out from the stage, and he first does a double take, like, oh, are you up here to minister to people? And then he realized, no, you came up for ministry, and he does a double take. He just reaches out, touches my chest, and instantly I go down. Luckily, the pastor's son scrambled to catch me, but my head actually landed on a blanket that was folded up. I mean, it was just God's grace was on the whole thing. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't because I went up there trying to fall over. I went up there to receive prayer. It just so happened that the desire of my heart plus the willingness of the Holy Spirit met, and it wasn't Him. All the power is God's forever. It wasn't Him, but He reached out, and whatever He was carrying that He had that God wanted to give to me touched me, and I just fell over. It wasn't like I tried to fall over. I can't explain it to you. I'm just trying to help make this normal for you guys. Again, the goal is just that people would get ministered to. Now, if someone's going to fall over, they can also just sit down. That's fine, too. But here's what I want to tell you. You might say, well, there's nothing special about falling over or laying on the ground. I don't know. I think when I pray in my quiet time, it's really important sometimes that I'm laying down. I feel the need. I need to be prostrate before the Lord. I need to lay down and just receive from Him. Like, literally, there's more of His presence because I'm not standing now and because I'm laying down. And so it's important that if that's how God's moving on someone's body, that they could fall over if they feel like they need to fall over. They won't probably think of it. It'll just happen. Or they could lay down if they need to lay down, or they could sit down if they need to sit down, or they could kneel down if they want to kneel down, or they could keep standing if they feel like they're supposed to keep standing. But when that happens, you need to... We want to give them space to do that so that God can move. Because in my experience, the times where I've been slain in the spirit, as people call it, where I fall over involuntarily when someone prays for me, a lot of times then the Lord will minister to me much more profoundly after the person prayed for me than during the prayer. The prayer might have been 10 seconds. I get whacked by the power of God. I'm on the ground. And then for the next 10 minutes, he's ministering to me beautifully. And I've seen beautiful pictures and all this sort of thing. And he's ministering to me. So we don't want to short circuit that, because if you actually get in the way of that and you say, well, I don't want to fall, or I don't want to lay down, I feel odd about that. Or, you know, if people aren't there to catch them so they don't feel comfortable falling, now they're not laying down on the ground. They don't get ministered to by the Lord for 10 minutes, because all they do is stand there and wobble as the power's in them and they're trying not to fall. And then the prayer's done and the time's done, and God's saying, I wasn't even trying to minister to you so much through Peter. I just wanted the Holy Spirit that he's carrying to come upon you in a powerful way, so that then I could minister to you profoundly as you lay there in my presence. And so what I'm saying is that's the sort of thing that needs to happen. So, okay, here's a super practical. Finally, you're so patient. If no one's behind Megan, she can fall and hit her head. Now, one time I was praying for people, I prayed for about 40 people recently, and like half of them got slain in the spirit. It was like all of a sudden this light bulb went on for me. You know, the power went on at a level I never had before. What I'm telling you, here's what happened. As I lay hands on them, like three of them went down in like 45 seconds. It would go like this. Thank you, Father, for my sister. We receive your power. Boom. Before I even finished the word power. And then the person who is the catcher puts that person down, makes sure that they're laid down very gently, and then they're laying there basking in the presence of God. And I have to wait before I pray for the next person. I literally have to wait, because I'm like, this person might go down so quick. If my guy Gino's not there to catch, they could get hurt. And so I wait, and then he's there, and then I pray. Okay? And it was a good thing I'd wait, because sometimes what I'm trying to say is, when you're catching for someone, it can happen really fast. Another person I was praying for, it was weird. They crumpled like straight down. It was an instant. I even like dropped to like kind of catch underneath their arms. They didn't fall backwards. They just crumpled straight down. And it's in an instant. It's supernatural. It's not like, you're not like, oh, I'm kneeling down now. That's what I'm doing. It just happens, okay? And so what I'm saying is, when someone's spotting, if I was praying for Megan, you have to have your hands on their back so they can feel it. If they can't feel your hands there, what will happen, you'll think, well, I'm ready for them. And they'll start leaning back, and they won't feel anything there. And their body, just their natural reflexes will say, don't fall backwards, you're going to die. Okay? And so instead, if your hands are there, they'll know that you're ready to catch them. And if they start to fall, all you do is you just lower them to the ground like this. And by the end, once they start leaning over pretty far, you actually have to like put serious force on their body so that their body goes down very gently. If someone is big, get two people. Get two people. My one friend one time was praying for a very large individual, like a 300-pound person, and got squashed. They're laying there basking in the glory of God. He said, help, help, underneath this person, help, help. Oh, I'm sorry, am I on top of you? Yeah, yes, sorry, please move, you know. So I'm just saying, two people is wise, thanks. Very good demo, Megs, good job. But I'm just trying to tell you, I know this seems like crazy practical, but listen, when I prophesy to people, you know, and many of you, as we've learned to prophesy to people around about and prophesy to strangers and prophesy to non-Christians or to prophesy in the church, you learn some sort of habits that are really helpful so that the prophetic words go really well. You know what I'm talking about? This is what happens. You start to learn some practical things. These are not things the Bible says earnestly desire to prophesy, and it gives some guardrails to it, but then you learn by the flow of the Spirit of God and some practical things, and you start to get some momentum in the prophetic. I'm just saying that with praying for impartation, with the power of the Holy Spirit moving upon people's body, this is just a practical thing that's important that we as a body know how to do, because all of a sudden the light bulb came on for me. I'd seen it happen a few times before, but now it's happening a lot when I'm praying, and you guys are going to partake of the same grace that I'm carrying, so it's going to start happening a lot when you're praying too. Never the goal to see people fall. Always the goal to see the power of God touch people in a profound, life-changing way. Okay? And I don't want people that God is wanting to minister to as they lay there for 10 minutes to be inhibited from receiving the ministry that he wants to give to them because they were uncomfortable, unsecure, and don't know what's going on with this power in my body, and I don't want to fall because I'll get hurt. Okay? So that's just part of the equation in ministering in power. Okay? Well, I'll definitely be recording a message now. Isn't it fun, though? Do you remember what Paul said? The one I'm thinking of. Jesus knew people's thoughts. Come on, guys. You know, Paul, talking about some apostles, he said, here's the deal. I'm going to come see those so-called apostles, and I'm going to see what sort of power they have. I don't know if you guys got it. Try again. Open with me to Matthew 22, 29. Hey, Aaron. Good to see you, man. Good. Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken. Or if you read the King James, I kind of like the King James in this one. You do err. You do err. And he said, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. He was talking with religious folks, and he's saying, you guys are in doctrinal error. You are mistaken doctrinally. Now watch this. First of all, we should not be critiquing other churches. Okay? Now I will critique teachings, because the teachings are what we need to be clear on so that we can be set free and flow in the power of God, the love of God, and the sound mind of God. Okay? But here's what I am saying. How often when people are critiquing churches, and like I said, it really shouldn't be happening very often at all unless they're in full-on heresy, and then you speak to it so that people don't get bound by it. But how often when people say there's something wrong at that church, what do they say the issue is every time? Doctrine. They say their interpretation of the scriptures is not. Are you guys with me? They say the interpretation of the scriptures isn't correct. That's what they say when there's an issue with the church. How often have you heard someone say, I'm concerned about that church over there because the power of God isn't there? And yet Jesus gives a two-part litmus test. He says, you're mistaken, you're in error. And here's why you're in error, because you don't know your scriptures and you don't have power. Scriptures, power. Scriptures, power. Scriptures, power. Equal weight from God. Equal weight from God. Equal weight from God himself. And what I'm saying is, if we don't have that mindset, if we don't have that mindset, and then Paul had that exact same mindset. This is what I was just mentioning to you. What did Paul say? We're going to see about those apostles. What did he say? We're going to see about their doctrine? He had a test for them. These so-called apostles, what was his test? If they had power. I'm going to see what sort of power they have. Okay, door opened. I'll be teaching more on that. I just want to encourage you guys. You know, he's given us a spirit. It's not a spirit of fear. Which spirit has he given us, though? One that's powerful, one that's loving, and one that produces a sound mind in its carriers. He's given us a spirit of power. Man, that's good. You know what? I'm going to just chuck my message, and I'm going to give you a different message. Because as it is, that was going to be an hour recording that you were going to have to watch on your, because I'm not getting to any of it. Okay, let me just give you a different message. I'll do the other message on eternal security another time. Okay, I'm just going to lead you through some scriptures. I already gave you some of them. This is about power. It's about power. I'm trying to highlight to you something that churches just don't talk about sometimes. Now listen, he's given us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So let me just give you the guardrails right now to what I'm about to share with you. And I'm going to repeat it over and over and over because I think I'm going to be on this theme for a little bit, but we'll start it today because it seems like the Lord started it today. What I'm telling you is that if you want to operate in power, you need to operate in two other things, love and a sound mind. 1 Timothy 1:7. Someone's going to hook me up. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you want to know how his Holy Spirit's going to work within you, it's going to work within you to release power into your life and into the lives that you touch. It's going to release love into your life and into the love into the lives that you touch. It's going to release soundness of mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, thank you. What I'm saying is that God's Spirit produces a calm mind. God's Spirit produces a peaceful mind. It produces a soundness of mind. It produces love. It produces and releases power. What I'm telling you is I'm going to start to talk with you about the power of God, and there's two guardrails you got to keep on this. There's two guardrails you got to keep on this. One is love. I'm telling you what, you can flow in the power of God, but be a clanging cymbal and a noisy gong. If you have not love, it will profit you nothing in terms of internal inheritance. If you move mountains and command Hurricane Irma to not touch Tampa, if you don't have love. And so love is essential to operating in God's sort of power, God's sort of way. And there's even people that Jesus said in Matthew 7 that didn't know him but would operate in his power because they knew the principles of the scripture, but later they don't go to heaven even because they actually never knew Jesus. They never had a relationship with him. And he said, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Okay? Now, if I've taught on this before. If you're like, "Oh no," well, that's not you. Because you're thinking, "Oh no," you know. These are people that don't want to know Jesus, but they're wanting to use his power. They're wanting to use his principles from scripture. And anyway, you get the idea. What was I saying? Love. So the first guardrail in operating God's power is love. Love, 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 love. Let all that we do be motivated by love. Let us be imitators of Christ, brethren. Little children, let us be imitators of Christ. I think Ephesians 5:1 maybe. And walk in his sort of agape love. It's love that motivated Jesus to cast demons out. When Jesus showed up at the Gadarenes and there's the person with the legion of demons, you know that it was dangerous to walk in that territory of the land because this person, you know, couldn't be chained down. And Jesus shows up and the presence of God is so strong, of course, upon Jesus, but it can be upon us too. That the demons start manifesting just because he came into town? What do you have to do with us? Right? I'm just saying. But listen, 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 listen. You have power over all the power of the devil. You have power over all the power of the devil. You have power over all the power of the devil. Where am I? Luke 10:19, "Behold," Jesus said, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I'm telling you, when you minister, okay, let me give you another one. And the devil, let's do another one. And he ordained 12, Mark 3:14 to 15. He ordained 12. Watch what he ordained them for. He ordained 12 for four things, that they might be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He's ordained you to spend time with him, to be intimate with him. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Okay? Mark 3:14 to 15. And he began, Mark 6, verse 7, and he began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Guys, I'm telling you what, there are so many people in the world today that don't have a mental illness, they've got a demonic illness. I'm not saying that mental illness can't exist, I'm just telling you that often it's demonic illness. Tourette's syndrome is a medically identified demon. people start cursing in the middle of public, what do you think that is? That's a demon. Now listen, there's never any shame in someone being demonized. The only shame would be them not wanting to be free. The first person that Jesus appeared to, the first person that Jesus appeared to after raising from the dead was Mary Magdalene, out of whom were cast 7 demons. The first person that the Lord came to see after he rose from the dead, the greatest event in all of history, was witnessed first by the woman who had been set free of 7 demons. There's never any shame in being set free of a demon. Satan is an equal opportunity oppressor. I'm telling you, he takes 6-year-old boys that got molested and he gives them a demon to boot to dominate their life. And then he takes a 9-year-old girl who's getting made fun of constantly by her fear and gives her a demon of suicide to end her life. And so you've got adults walking around and they've been oppressed by the devil. Jesus came to set those free who had been oppressed by the devil. It's our inheritance and birthright as born-again believers to set people free who've been oppressed by the devil. Okay? Now listen, you shall know the truth. So love, right? What motivated Jesus to set people free? Love. And he operated how to set people free? In power. Okay? Now listen, if you're like, I don't know how I could possibly do that, let me ask you this. One, are you born again? I know the answer for that. I think everyone here. 2, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not send anybody free of any devils until he was baptized to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How do you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Come up after service, we'll show you. Okay? You'll just receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8. That's what happens. You receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you go to heaven. But Jesus said to those that were saved, his apostles, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until the power of God comes upon you, the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's Pentecost. They're up in the upper croft, so to speak, and they're praying, waiting upon the Lord, and Pentecost finally comes in its fullness. It had been prophesied effectively in the Old Testament. Pentecost comes in its fullness in Acts chapter 2, and there's Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit baptizes them in tongues of fire. And remember, when Jesus went to get baptized by John the Baptist, he said, no, I can't baptize you. And Jesus said, yes, it's going to show that I am righteous. And the voice of the Father comes and says, this is my perfect Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's no sin in him. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him as a dove, and Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And John had said, I baptize you in water, but one comes after me whose sandals I'm not fit to untie, that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. It's Jesus himself that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. You got the Holy Spirit in you if you're a believer, but when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit upon you. And you lay hands on people and sickness goes. You lay hands on people and demons leave. What I'm saying is, I don't know what I'm saying, to be honest. Power, love, sound mind. It was love that motivated him. It was power that was the mechanism. And here's the last part, soundness of mind. The Vineyard Church has an amazing phrase. Here's what they say, because they've seen miracles for many years. It started with their founder, John Wimber, would see lots and lots of miracles. Here's their phrase. All the word of God, if all a church brings just the word, 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 people dry up. If all a church brings is the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the power of God, like we're experiencing it today, the power, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the church blows up in a bad way. It blows up. It implodes. Give it 6 months. It'll implode. They said if you have the Word and the Spirit, the church grows up. What I'm telling you, it's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God... Guys, we have a tremendous scriptural foundation here, and it's my job to guard it, just like Paul told Timothy. And so we're not going to depart from that one bit as we start to experience things. I'm still going to be bringing teaching, 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 because it's the teaching that brings anchors, it brings foundations. And remember, we want to have power that has two partners, power that has two partners, power that has two guardrails, love and a sound mind. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. there's many people that will see some of the things that we're seeing, the power of God flow and stuff like that, and they're actually not very free. The reason is they just don't know a lot of the truth that would be setting them free. If they would study the Word of God, it would do most of the heavy lifting. And then it's just a fringe thing over here. You know, I was asking the Lord recently, because God was delivering me of some things these last few weeks. And I was like, what is this, God? Because I've been having great teaching for years and knowing the love of God, knowing the grace of God, etc. And here's what I asked him. I said, God, what is this? What is this? And I said, it just seems like it's all just the Scripture. I ought to just study the Scripture. Scripture would take care of it. And he said, when people get delivered of something, when I set you free of something, it takes lenses off your eyes and removes triggers from your heart. And what I'm saying is, you can know the truth, which has set you free to a certain level, but you still have a lens that you're viewing the entire world through that you got when you were 4 or 6 or 8. And you can still have triggers in your heart that developed when you were 9, 14, or 22. And the Lord's saying, you've known the truth and it set you free, but I also need to remove something so that you can be totally free. Isn't that awesome? And here's what God told me. I said, and he was working with me on some things. And I said, he said, Peter, you're already totally free, but I'm setting myself free. This is what the Lord tells me. And I said, that's not God. God's not setting himself free. He's already free. So I thought, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's not God. I heard wrong. And then he says it louder. He says, I'm not setting you more free. I'm setting myself free. I say, huh? And he says, so that I can love you fully. Because in releasing freedom to you, I'm giving myself freedom to have full access to love you in every single area of your life, unfettered. He wants to be able to love you with all of his love, and sometimes there's things that have bound you. There's fear that's bound you. There's shame that's bound you. There's anxiety that's bound you. And God's saying, I want to set you free so that I can set myself free to love you with all the love that I want to give you. Power, love, sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. That's what his Spirit does. And so we're going to minister in power. And we've already been seeing miracles for a while. Praise God. People getting healed of physical ailments, all sorts of things. Okay? But I know I'm experiencing some new things. And that's what I'm giving out. Power, love, sound mind. The guardrails for power. No, it's always God. It was his. It is his now. And even after we experience it, it's still his. Forever. All the glory that goes with the power. It was his, it is his, and it will always be his. Okay? But we do it with love and with a scriptural foundation. We hold tight to the anchor of the Scripture because it's the Word of God, it's the truth of God that sets us free. But sometimes people need an encounter, they need an experience, they need a touch from God that makes that truth go all the way in. Good? Well, I think that's good for today. Okay. So I think that's a sermon. I don't know. Thank you, Lord.